to lift our eyes to the mountains, where will our help come from? Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Beloved, peace to you and grace in God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's read together from Psalm 105, verses 37 to 45. Then he brought out Israel with silver and gold, and there was none among his tribes who stumbled. And they departed, for dread of them had fallen upon it. He spread a cloud for a covering and a fire to give light by night. They asked, and he brought quail, and gave them bread from heaven in abundance. He opened the rock, and water gushed out. It flowed through the desert like a river, for he remembered his holy promise, and Abraham his servant. So he brought his people out with joy, his chosen ones with singing, and he gave them the lands of the nations, and they took possession of the fruit of people's toil, that they might keep his statutes and observe his. Praise the Lord. This is the word of God. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, the only master and teacher of his church, be praised to you forever. Our Father, for your Son Christ's sake, show your mercy every time we stray. Reveal our sins to us more and more. Keep us in and lead us to your truth. Show us this evening again how to be faithful in everything we have received, whether it be less or more, and preserve us against all the scandals the whole world is filled with. We pray this in Jesus' name and we thank you. Amen. I want to bring you some news from Europe. Last evening was quite an evening, but it was so encouraging. I could see the people of God across the globe working together in the heart of Christ. I was on the phone with Gerard and Evelyn Roth at the Wetzlar Church because we got a distress call from Lisa late. It was Lisa Fenter when she was here. From her father, Ivan Fenter, and his wife, who is Ukrainian, and they live in Lviv in Ukraine. And through Lisa, I had a distress call that her father and her stepmother were fleeing Lviv, heading for Germany. And of course, they have to go through Poland to get to Germany. And I got hold of Gerd and Evelyn, and typical of those two, they immediately said, "We are preparing beds for them. How can I reach them? How can we make contact?" We did, and we've established contact. They are now at Warsaw. We are working through the technicalities. There are two kinds of refugees entering Germany at the moment. Some of them have temporary work permits. They can go live with people elsewhere in Germany, but if you just have pure refugee status, then you have to stay in the designated camps. And Ivan and his wife find themselves at the moment in that category. But we are hoping that we can establish some temporary residence for them so that they can go and be with Gerd and with Evelyn. And in our liaisons with them, Susan got hold of Jasmin Riemenschneider from the Frankfurt Church. Everybody in Germany, Frankfurt and Wetzlar and people here, we were all taking hands to try and resolve this thing. And Jasmin sent us a message about what they've experienced over these past 2 years with the COVID, pandemic, and also now with the war in Ukraine, and how it's affecting the Lord's people over there. And I felt guilty because we so often complain about so many things here where we are, but now we're hearing from people directly on the ground the horrific things that people are going through there. And she wrote to Susan and she said, "Only a handful of churches remained faithful during the last 2 years. Lots of hate and affliction for those who didn't bow down to Caesar. It's been horrible for 2 years now, and next week They want to pass a law for mandatory vaccination. Fuel prices are so high that we try all we can to avoid having to use the car. And food prices have gone up radically as well. There are also food shortages due to the Russian-Ukraine conflict. And now we are waiting for about 4 million refugees. So these are very challenging times. But the Lord has been and always will be our faithful shepherd. May I furnish you with the names of the churches that we would like you to pray for us for. The Evangelical Reformed Baptist Church in Frankfurt. The one in Wetzlar also. The Freie Baptisten Gemeinde in Heilbronn. And then Hanover International Bible Church and International Bible Church in Shell. So these five churches, I'll ask Susan to list them in the bulletin for this coming week. If you could be faithful in praying for your brothers and sisters over there. As Susan and I were looking at the names of these churches, she got out her iPad and we saw some of the pictures we took when we were in Germany with these folk and some of the dear ones we saw there, and it brought us to tears. They are in need of your prayers. They faithfully pray for you. The Wetzlar Church have a number of them who listen to our services live stream, and then they have their service. It's the kind of bond we have. So be faithful in praying for them, and pray for Ivan and his wife, that they will make it safely from Warsaw to Germany, and from Germany, somewhere in Germany, probably Frankfurt or Munich, they will make it to Gerd and Evelyn. Gerd has been in contact with them. He spoke to them on the phone when they were in Warsaw, and they have established direct links now. And Jean, thank you also for all your trouble in helping us to set all this up last night. It's deeply appreciated. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we have come to the end of the Lord's Day for this week. And our hearts are moved to pray that you set apart to me this night's rest, Lord, that we may enjoy our sweet blessing and benefit. And with that refreshing sleep, enable us to walk before you, doing the good works you have appointed. And while we sleep this evening, you are the keeper of Israel. You who neither slumber nor sleep, watch over us in your holy providence. Protect us from all danger, so that neither the evil angels of Satan or any wicked enemy may have any power to do us harm. We pray that you let your holy angels pitch their tents around about us for our defense and our safety, knowing that your name is a strong tower of defense to all who trust you. We commit ourselves and all that belong to us to your holy protection and custody. And because we are mortals, we know that we need to pray that if it's your will to call for me in our sleep, Lord, to have mercy upon us and receive our souls into your heavenly kingdom. But if you are pleased to add more days to our life and to tarry, make those days even better than the ones that are behind us. We now mind from the love of the world and of worldly vanities, and cause us to more and more walk about heaven and heavenly things, and talk about heavenly things, and perfect in us every day that good work which you have begun, to the glory of your name and the salvation of our sinful souls. These are the desires of our hearts. We commit to you the people of the Ukraine, all those refugees with the suitcases, walking in streets, no knowing where they're going to sleep tonight. Heavenly Father, we ask that you have mercy upon them. We pray that you give us godly governments in all the nations of the world, that you refresh, revive, and reform and restore your churches. We pray, Heavenly Father, especially for those congregations in Germany. We pray for our brothers in Frankfurt, our brothers in Wetzlar, in Heilbronn, and in Shell. Father, we ask that you revive them. We thank you for their open hearts and their generosity and their hospitality. We pray that you bless them abundantly. Be also with Gerard and with Evelyn, as they seek to minister to those who are fleeing. And we thank you, Father, for showing us how we join hands and hearts looking after those whom you've made family in Christ. We pray for the sick among us. We pray this evening for Sandra and Eben and Jan as they find themselves in hospital. With pleadings from our soul, we commit Salome to you for this week. We pray that you defeat and remove this tumor by your own hand and that you heal her. We pray for Joshua Raven that you continue to heal him. Thank you that Gottlieb is on the mend. We pray that you heal him and restore him completely. We pray for Miranda, for Kerry Aiden, for Henk and Florrie. We pray for Wilhelm and Marina Oudendaal, our brother Diewald. And we pray for Ashley and Lydia, for Marinus, for Zenny, for Suzanne, for Elena, for Sarah Jane, for Elizabeth, for Selma, for Blanche, for Naomi Vivier. We pray for Tani Annette, for George and Marika, for Cecile and Elena. We pray for Ivan Fenter and his wife as they make their way to Germany. We pray also for our brother Johan as he returns from New York. Father, we pray that you keep your hand over him and give him safe journey. And as we turn to consider your word now, we ask, forgive us all our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take up your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to read again the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6. And we read from verse 9. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer. It's also the believer's prayer. And we've looked at several things about it so far. We saw that prayer is about resting. Our Father in heaven, that's our rest. Prayer is about reverencing. Hallowed be your name. Prayer is about reigning, about God reigning, that is. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Lord taught us to pray like this. Prayer is also about resigning by saying, your will be done. Not my will be done. Now there's a big problem right there. Every one of you will know that one of the most problematic things among humans, especially when they get into conflict with one another, is this little thing that we call the will. We are strong-willed. Our wills drive us. If you consider this whole concept of the will, it's that part of our faculty that makes us muster all our strength, resources, motives, all our deliberation to get what I want, to do what I want to do. The will. It's a strong thing. And tonight we're going to look at this phrase, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And so far, in the series of sermons, we've discovered the truth that prayer is a dialogue between us and our Heavenly Father. And we can rest in that relationship. We have seen the truth. Prayer must include the elements of worship, of exaltation, and of praise. We are to reverence him at all times. We've been taught to seek God's rule on the earth through praying for his kingdom to come on the earth and in our own hearts. We are to allow the Lord to reign in our lives. But as we move deeper into this prayer, we're going to learn the truth that prayer is also about resigning. It's about stepping off our thrones and stopping to pursue our own wills and seek the will of God. In our prayer lives, we are to grow until we come to the place where we lay all that we are and all that we have on his altar and yield ourselves completely to God. That is what we need to do. And that's not always an easy thing to do. We're not wired that way, but it's absolutely necessary if we expect to become all God saved us to be. We need to let go of our wills. And so we're going to take a little bit of time this evening to consider God's will and what our response to these wills should be as we consider that prayer is about resigning. Now, speaking about God's will is a tricky thing. The theologians among us will tell you, and I'm not going to step into that minefield tonight. I want to seek to say something pastoral and not bombard you with all the technicalities and the theological depths. We can have lectures about that for hours on end. But we need to first of all look at God's will and try to find a definition. And then what we will do is we will also look at God's will and a depiction of God's will. And then lastly, God's will, a duty. Those three things I would like to look at: the definition, the depiction, and the duty as it pertains to God's will. Now, first of all, about a definition. Just what is the will of God? I don't think that I, or any preacher for that matter, could adequately describe all that the will of God is in. We cannot describe that in one lifetime, much less in one message. Some people look at the will of God as that iron-fisted rule of an overbearing tyrant and dictator. Some people see it as that. God is too strong to resist. So they give in to him with this kind of resentful attitude. But if they could, they would do something else. They just know it's not possible to fight God. Others see the will of God as being inevitable. So they submit not out of faith, but out of surrender. And they don't submit to God's will out of love or out of joy, but out of resignation to what they see is going to be certain anyway, because God wants it that way. People like that pray, but they don't think their prayers will make any real difference. If you hold that view, you know when you pray, I call them the whatever prayers. I pray because God says I have to pray, but whatever, God's going to have his way anyway. Whatever prayers. Still others seem to think that man's duty in prayer is to bend God's will so that it gets in line with ours. They see prayer as an attempt to get God to do what they want God to do. And the problem with that is that all three of these outlooks are flawed. God is sovereign. We know that. We believe that firmly. He's in absolute control of this universe, but he does invite his children to pray about things in life. And yet, when we pray in order that God's will might be accomplished on earth through us, we do so wrongly many times. Notice here that prayer is all about God. It's thy name be hallowed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God is a sovereign God. And still, he still commands us to pray like our prayers will have an effect. James tells us that in James 5 verse 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. James teaches us to pray that way. With that in mind, let's take a minute to set the record straight as to just what the will of God is all about. First of all, God's will of decree, and secondly, God's will of desire. Let's look at God's will of decree first. There's one sense in which God has determined some things in advance. These things will be accomplished and nothing could ever hinder it, stop it, or sidetrack it. And that kind of determination we see in creation, in the order that is maintained in the universe, in God's dealings with sin and Satan, and in the matter of salvation and all of that. The word of God is clear when it talks about God's definite will, that it will have a reality. And I hope you get the idea. Some things have been determined by the Lord, and they will stand unchanged and unmoved and unstopped forever. That is God's decreed, definite will. And there's no use in praying about, complaining about, or trying to change that. There's no use doing that. No use asking God to turn the day into night and the night into day, and to turn birds into snakes and snakes into birds, and men into women and women into men, although the work movement's pretty good at that themselves. There's no use praying about that. God's will with regard to that is set. His will is going to be done regardless of what men do or women do or say or think or feel. God's eternal plan will be accomplished. Satan's sin and death will be judged, and it will be done away with forever. And the redeemed saints of God, among whom I hope all of us find ourselves, we will go to glory. Things will play out just as God has determined they will, and nothing will derail God's purposes. But then there's God's will of desire. Unlike God's decreed will, that which God desires may not always come to pass. But let me quickly add that even if those things which fall within this area of His will are not accomplished, His decreed will still stand, unviolated and unchanged. And it may not make sense to us. We're dealing with one of the great mysteries of the faith here, the free will of man and the sovereignty of God. Show me the theologian who has resolved that. And I've often said, I have read things and heard things and watched YouTube videos and people debating it. And sometimes I facetiously think it has all the relevance of a bunch of nuns knitting. And at least the nuns' jerseys warm some orphans. And that kind of thing often just upsets people. It makes us pray even less. Let me see if I can make it a little clearer for us. There are several words translated will in the New Testament. I want to take just the main two and show you the difference between God's decreed will and God's desired will, if I can. The first word I want to talk about is thelo. It refers to a decree or a design, and it speaks of the eternal counsels and purposes of God which cannot be changed. And that word is used to speak of those things God has already sovereignly determined will take place, and nothing can ever change it. And that word is used over 200 times in the New Testament. Here are a couple of places where this word can be found. You can look in John 21 from chapter 22, from verse 22 and on, and John 17, 24. The next word I'm interested in this evening is the word bulumai. This word means fond wish or desire. And it carries the idea of a passive wish. And this is what God would desire to see happen under the best of circumstances. This word is used for things that God would like to see happen, but which do not always come to pass. If we don't acknowledge the truth of that, then we will say, nobody ever really goes against the will of God. And we just know that's not true. Amen? Have you gone against the will of God in your life? It's just not true that there's nothing that can go against God's will. It's true that nothing that goes against God's will can ever defeat His decreed will. It can never defeat that. And that's just a little bit of information concerning the will of God. There's a sense in which God's purposes will be done and cannot ever be thwarted. And there's also a sense in which God's desires are not always accomplished precisely as God wants them to be. And in our verse, the word translated will comes from the word thelo. This means we are to pray for God's perfect decreed will to be carried out on this earth, just as it is being carried out in heaven. Not just for His will to be done, but for His will to be done on earth. Not just for His will to be done on earth, but for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we pray for. We are to pray that God will do as He has purposed to do, and that He will do it in us and through us as well. That's a bit of the definition there. Now a depiction of God's will. Our verse this evening tells us that God's perfect will is being done in heaven, and that you and I are to pray that his will might be carried out the same, to the same degree and in the same way here on earth. How is God's will done in heaven? Have you thought about that? How's his will done in heaven? It is carried out, let me tell you, completely, consistently, and constantly. That's how God's will is carried out. It's done without complaint. It's done without murmuring. It's done without discussion. And it's done quickly and all the time. It's done with joy and it's done with excitement. That's how God's will is done in heaven. And it is done with a heart of love for the Almighty God. The fact of the matter this evening is that God's will is not being done on the earth as it is in heaven. And you can see that, can't you? You see it in your own life. If it were, there would be no crime. There would be no sin. There would be no rebellion. There would be no abortion. There would be no homosexuality. There would be no murder. There would be no false doctrine. And we can go on and on and on. If God's will was done as perfectly on earth as it is in heaven, none of these things would be here. The truth of the matter is that Satan is right now the god of this world. His will is being carried out in the world more so than God's will. It's a tragedy, but it's true. God's will, as it is written in the Word of God, is not being done. You can see that. It's not God's will that all those women and children must be trundling along the streets of Lviv and Kiev with their suitcases, what they could grab and run, while they leave behind their husbands and their sons to possibly die on the battlefield. Don't anyone tell me that's God's will. Our God is not like that. People bring it upon themselves because they want their will to be done in heaven as it is on earth. And that's what the Lord wants us to let go. There's a desperate need for God's will to be done in this world. There's a need for God's people to earnestly pray that his will might be done here to the same degree that it is done there. You have to pray that God's will is being done in your home in exactly the same way it's been done in heaven. And you need to let him reveal to you what is not according to his will. And then you need to let go of your will and embrace his. So that's God's will, a definition and a depiction, but it's also a duty, thirdly. There's a duty that we are bound to here. If we are to pray sincerely that God's will be done on the earth as it is in heaven, then I am praying that this world and my own heart will be brought into perfect conformity to his revealed will. You and I can't do a thing about that, what those out in the world are doing this evening, but we can do something about our own hearts and about our own walk with the Lord. Let me ask you, are you doing that? Are you exerting your will on other people without even checking your will, whether that's according to God's will? Or are you exerting your own will in your own family, in your own life? We need to know that we need the Lord's will to be done in our lives too. It's a duty. When I pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you know what you're asking the Lord? Do you know what you're asking him? You are asking the Lord to take your life and to conform it to his word and to his will. That is what you're asking him. Don't ask him that if it's not truly your desire. That's phony. If you don't want your life to be taken by the Lord and to be conformed to his word and to his will, if you don't want that, don't ask him that. But if you ask him that, Make sure that's what you really want. It's not an easy thing. You're going to have to let go of a whole lot of things that you love more than you love the Lord. You're going to have to take certain things into your life that the Lord wants there and that you don't like, but you're going to have to take it into your life whether you like it or not. And as I've said to you before, do that, because it's better to feel bad for a good reason than it is to feel good for a bad reason. If you want the Lord's will to be done, then ask Him. Say, I'm yielding all I have and all I am to the hand of the potter. I'm echoing the prayer and fleshing out the example of the Lord Jesus when He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but thine be done. And tell me you don't know that that was not a pleasant thing to Him. Tell me that you still don't know the consequences of Him praying that. Tell me that you don't know that when He said, not my will, but thy will be done, it took Him to the cross of Calvary and had Him nailed there. It made Him feel forsaken by His Father. When you pray this, you are taking your life and finally and fully giving it to Him to do with it as He pleases. And that's a tall order. But it's the path to blessing. There's no other path to blessing. As I said earlier, I can't control what the world does in relationship to God and His Word. But I can control what I do. And my duty is to bow and bend to His will, regardless of what that will is. And when I pray, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, you're asking the Father to use you to make the earth a little more like heaven. Have you thought about that? You're saying, use me to make this earth a little bit less like hell and a little bit more like heaven. For my wife, for my husband, for my children. My brothers, my sisters, my neighbors, my friends. And yes, even for my enemies. You're praying for spiritual wisdom to learn His will. You're praying for a spiritual desire to do His will. You're praying for spiritual strength to carry out His will. You see, when we pray, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, we are praying this, Lord, help me to carry out Your will in this world cheerfully, completely, consistently, and constantly, just like it is being done in heaven. That's what you're asking Him. This is the attitude that God wants to develop in your heart and in my heart. May He help us to see His will as a duty that must be carried out by us. All of those of us who know Him. Because all of those who don't know Him are dead in sin and they cannot serve Him at all. And as we conclude, if God is truly our Heavenly Father, if we are really interested in hallowing His great name, and if we are actually committed to seeing His kingdom come into the world, then we are also going to want to yield to His will in our lives. We ask you, are you committed to the will of God for your life? Have you placed your all on the altar and have you yielded to Him all that you have and are? Are you doing everything in your power to see His will done on earth as it is in heaven? As you see, when we learn to submit our all to Him and pray for His will to be done in our lives, we're honoring God as our Father. We are hallowing His precious name. And we are seeing to it that His kingdom work is advanced within us and among us and within our hearts. Did our Lord Jesus not teach us to pray so wisely. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are leaving this place to go to our night's rest this evening, with all those things that still lurk within us and among us that can destroy us and make us exert our will contrary to yours. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will forgive us that. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will set us right to the glory of your name. We ask this in Jesus' name and we thank you. Amen. Let's rise and sing together, O Father, you are sovereign, as we close. Dearly beloved in Christ, may the Lamb upon his throne, whose heavenly anthems drown all music than its own, the potentate of time and creator of the rolling spheres, who blesses the righteous, surround you like a shield with his favor. Amen.